Ohi, all that we try to communicate in Torah, in Hashkafa, all bear his stamp and all reflect his teachings. We, Emily Rabasafer, Eliyah, and myself, were all maspid him, and all of those hespedim relating to his derech halimud, his midos, the organic whole of his persona, the harmony and the balance of his perspective on life, and his yashrus, his ultimate integrity. You can all hear about that on YU Torah. I would just like to share with you one of his chidushim before Rav Asaf gives his shir. The Mefarshim debate the nature of the Avera of Moshe and Aharon at Mei Merivah. Was it the fact that he hit the rock rather than speaking to it, as Rashi says? Was it the anger, as the Rambam speaks about, Mor Nevuchim? Was it the use of the terminology Hamenasela Hazeh Notzi Lachem, as opposed to Yotzi Hashem Lachem, as Rabbeinu Chananel quoted by the Ramban? Rav Lichtenstein pointed out that all of these options have a common problem. All of them revolve around Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe's behavior, Moshe's mood, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu directed his rebuke both to Moshe and to Aharon. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe ve'el Aharon. And therefore the punishment was on both. Aharon didn't do any of the above, so why was he chastised and why was he punished? And the answer that Rav Chassin suggested is exactly the language of his question, namely what he didn't do. Aharon and Moshe were punished for what they did not do, that they didn't take advantage of the opportunity, the golden opportunity that was offered to them to be Mekadesh Shem Shamayim to the maximum, to speak to the rock. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't do it by replacing it with a different act. Aharon didn't do it simply by sitting and not doing. And that opportunity is an opportunity that may never repeat itself. And so they were responsible for the missed opportunity. And Rav Chassin pointed out that this is a lesson to all of us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu relates to each of us not only in terms of what we do, but more in terms of what we do related to what we could do. We all, Baruch Hashem, learn Torah. We're all, Baruch Hashem, Shomrei Mitzvos. But if we could do more in any of those areas, then we're held responsible. Gemara Sanhedrin, kol ha'efshero la'asok b'Torah ve'eno osek. Gemara Brachos, kol ha'efshero l'ispalel ba'ad chaveiro ve'eno mispalel. There's no chiyuv in the Torah to be mispalel, but it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for gemilas chesed. It's an opportunity to relate to a fellow Jew. And the fact that it's not taken, that itself is considered to be nikra chote. That's how Rav Lichtenstein lived his life, to push himself to strive to the maximum that he was able to. And that sets an example, I think, for all of us. And it's Hashem shetehei nishmato tzrura b'tzor hachayim.
I chose a topic to speak about briefly today, which is tzedakah and Eretz Yisrael, because it does provide an opportunity in a very accessible way to say over some thoughts of Rav Lichtenstein that have been published and perhaps different in different places. As well, it touches on two areas that are very characteristic of Rav Lichtenstein. Maybe we'll start with tzedakah, end with Eretz Yisrael. Rav Lichtenstein was probably world famous as a Talmud Chacham, as a Yirei Shamayim, as a medaktik upon himself with all kinds of chumros and nihugim, but he was famous in certain circles in Yerushalayim, especially among the less fortunate residents of Yerushalayim, as a Baal Tzedakah. The Aniyim flocked to Rav Lichtenstein. I remember when he first moved from Katmon to Alon Shvat until they figured out how to find him in Alon Shvat. When he came to give the weekly shiur here, they used to be waiting in ambush outside to catch him on the way out of the shiur. And I think not only because he was very, very generous with the size of the checks he wrote to people who I would have been reluctant to even give 20 shekel to. And he took out his checkbook and was very generous with them in a very selfless way that characterized him. But I think even more so because of the way he related to and treated each ani with a certain dignity, with a certain expectation that this person was really capable of accomplishing a lot, and instead of looking at him as a nevech and someone you want to get rid of by giving money to as soon as possible, which maybe for us is the highest madriga we aspire to, he would take time out to give divrei chizuk and advice to the aniyim, and people you and I would say, all right, is this fellow's neusvarf? He's just he's going around schnurring, let me give me some money and get myself back to better company. He would sit the fellow down and have a whole sichan hashkafa about the importance of work and how he could change his direction and divrei chizuk, and really because he believed in not just doing chesed, but he really believed in everyone in a very deep and perhaps unrealistic in the good sense of that word. Fashion. We're going to dwell in the shiur, perhaps more, and we'll end with the theme of Eretz Yisrael, because in Halachas of Tzedakah, we see a debate over the role of Eretz Yisrael in Hilchos Tzedakah. If you just look at the Makoros sheet here, there are three places where the Torah mentions giving tzedakah, lending or money to pour it to aniyim. One is in Parshat Mishpatim, number one, in Keset Talveas Amiyase Aniyim Machlos Yelok Noshelos Simon Olav Neshech. And the Gemara in Bava Metzia darshins from this pasuk that there's a certain order of priority in giving tzedakah. Not everyone's equal. There are priorities, and the Gemara says in Makor number two, in Keset Talveas Amiyase Aniyim Mach, Ami is the first word. Ami v'nachvi, Ami kodem. A Jew comes first. Then it says Esa Ani, Ani v'asher, Ani kodem. And yeah, a poor person, even if a rich person is alone, the poor person has priority. Aniyecha v'aniyi ercha, aniyecha kodmin. It says, that's aniyimach, those closest to you. So the ani in your household versus the one in your city, the one in your household comes first. Aniyi ercha v'aniyi ercheres, aniyi ercha kodmin. And if there are those in your city and those in another city, those in your city comes first. Basically, the principle here is, among the Jewish poor, those who are closest to you come first. There is a similar drasha based on the psukim in the third place where the Torah speaks about tzedakah. The second place, agav, is makor number five, is in Parshas Bahar. It talks about you have to lend him money. Similarly, too, in Parshas Mishpatim, you have to give him a free loan. Back to makor number three. Etc. When you have a poor person with you, you have to lend them money. Says this Medrash, the Sifri, right there in Makor 4. Similarly, the Jews, as opposed to the Gentiles. Evyon, Toiv Toiv Kodem. Whoever's more needy comes first. You take into account the need. Achecha, and here's the theme of closeness. Achecha means brothers come before more distant relatives, and since it says me'achad achecha, a closer brother comes before, like a paternal brother comes before a less close brother. Those who live in your gates and your cities come first. Here's a new factor that we did not have in the Gemara in Bava Metzia based on the Pasuk Mishpatim. Yoshvei ha'aretz kodem yoshvei chutz la'aretz. right? Israelis, those who live in Eretz Yisrael, have precedence for tzedakah over those who live in Chutz La'aretz. You have a choice who to give tzedakah to. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael come first. Kshu Omer Brachat Sharecha Hayosh Makamecha Yatamatzuva Lefarz the Farnes of Yimchazel Psachim Yatazaku Lulachom Dover. Okay, that's a not about priorities, but it just says if someone's in one place and they ask the Gavay Tzedakah for money, they have to give him everything he needs. Someone walks around snoring from everyone, then you don't have to give him everything you need. Gemara explains just a little. Asher Hashem Lekecha Nosi Lach B'chol Makom. That place Hashem gives you to include everywhere. Meaning, so you wouldn't think only in Israel. You don't have to give tzedakah at all in Chutz La'aretz. You have to give tzedakah everywhere. So here we have perhaps a bit of a stira in the Dibri Chazal. In the Gemara Bav Metzia, where they darshan the Seder of priority from the Pasuk Mishpatim, they don't mention anything about Eretz Yisrael. But in the Sifri, where they darshan from the Pesukim in Parshas Re'eh, they mention that Eretz Yisrael comes first. So how do we paskin? So if you look in the Rambam, at first glance at least, we're looking to see, wasn't convinced so sure of this, but at first glance certainly the Rambam says in number 6, Ani Shukrova Kodim L'chol Adam, relatives come first, Ani Yebeso Kodim L'Ani Yeiro, people in your household come before people in the rest of your city, Ani Yeiro Kodim L'Ani Yeracheres, your city comes before other cities, Shenemar L'Achecha L'Aniyecho Levyoncha B'Artzecha. Okay, that represents all these levels of priorities. Doesn't say anything about Eretz Yisrael. Many Achronim assume that's because the Rambam holds there is no priority for the Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam paskins like the Gemara and Bav Metzia against the Sifrei, that the order of priority is only based on how close someone is to you, not based on whether they live in Israel or Chutz La'aretz. What does he do with the Pasuk? And you paskin like the Gemara and Metzia as opposed to the Sifrei, but you can't paskin against the Pasuk. Doesn't the Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh number 3 say, Ba'aretzecha? So it could be he interprets like the Ramban says with Derech Hapshat in number 7 on that pasuk, Kitam Ba'artzcha. Sometimes Ba'artzcha doesn't mean Israel. Kitam Ba'artzcha suggests the Ramban, Kitam B'chomo Shosecha means wherever you live. Ba'artzcha in the country you live. If you live in America, it's America. If you live in France, it's France. Ba'artzcha Chutz La'aretz equally in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So the Rambam certainly, at first glance in the simple level, assumes that there is no priority for those who live in Israel, and perhaps Ba'artzcha just means whatever country you live in. There's nothing, no unique link between Eretz Yisrael and Tzedakah. However, a number of Rishonim, Paskin, like the Sifrei, they assume there's no Machlokas. The Gemara Bava Metzia darshan is what there is to darshan from Parshas Mishpatim. The Sifrei darshan is what there is to darshan from Re'eh. They're just meant to complement one another, not to argue on one another. And therefore, we should Paskin like the Sifrei. The Smag, for example, the number 8 Paskins, Tanya B'Sifrei, Okay, just quotes the Sifrei more or less, slightly different girsa, but he quotes the Sifrei straight up la halacha that poor Jews in Israel take priority over poor Jews in France or Canada or Australia. The Mordechai, likewise, in Bava Basra, in the beginning of Bava Basra, we're discussing Tzedakah there in Daf Ches, says the same thing. Number 9, Tanya B'Sifrei, Achicha Ze'achecha Me'achicha Me'avicha, Me'achad Achecha Me'avicha, Achicha Me'avicha, Kodun Le'achecha Me'amecha, La'achicha Me'amecha, Ve'achad Sherecha Yoshi Yerucha Kodun Le'anchi Yerucheres, Ve'artzcha Yoshi Yerucheres, Kodun Le'yoshi Chotzlerz, Ve'yoshi Chotzlerz Minayin, Tamalom Hashem L'kecha Nusein L'chal Rabos Kol Mokom. Okay, so the Mordechai and the Smag Paskin like the Sifrei. How do we Paskin L'alacha? Okay, so it seems to be Machlokes Rishonim. Let's go to the Shulchan Aruch. Says the Shulchan Aruch number 10. He throws in a lot of details here that we're not going to get into. But says the Shulchan Aruch in Makor number 10, he starts with, this is segueing in from a different halacha, Hanosin levonav ubnosav agedolim, she'enu chayim zonoseihim, t'ilamis abonim Torah l'hanag abonos b'derech yishara. Someone supports his older, his adult kids, where he doesn't have to support them legally. He just supports them anyway. Why? Because that way he can influence them, they can learn Torah and walk in the right path. You support your kids in kolo. Or likewise, if you give money to your parents when they're poor and they need, because they're retired and they don't have income anymore, how is it called tzedakah? That counts as tzedakah. Not only does it count as tzedakah if you give to your close relatives, it's even the top priority in tzedakah. Right, giving to your relatives is more important than giving to strangers. Even if it's not your son or father, lakrova, just a different relative, tzarek like dim l'chol adam. You have to put your relatives first. V'achiv me'aviv kol l'achiv me'imo, and a paternal brother comes before a maternal brother. V'ani yebeis kol l'ni yiro, and the poor people in your household come before the poor people in your city. V'ani yiro kol l'ni yiracheres, and those in your city come before other countries. The Ramah, we'll skip the Ramah for now. But Yoshe Eretz Yisrael, Kodim Yoshe Chutz La'aretz. Okay, The Mechaber Paskin's Halacha L'Maisa, this is that we hold. Halacha L'Maisa, like the Smag and the Mordechai, based on the Sefrei. We Paskin, there is a connection, a link between Tzedakah and Eretz Yisrael. That somehow people who live in Israel take priority for Tzedakah over those who live in Chutz Laretz.
It's just assuming it's not your brother or sister crawled, and once we get to more general, that happens.
Right, it's the assumption seems to be that if they're not your relatives, there's a big machlokes, which we're not going to get terribly into now. What about those in your city versus those in Israel? Right, like let's say I live in Teaneck and people in Teaneck versus people in Israel. Which priority takes priority, as it were? Those who live in my city? Clearly, if I live in Teaneck, Israel takes priority over Long Branch. But if I live in Teaneck, does Israel take priority or Teaneck take priority? Okay, that's a machlokas. In number 11, the Shach quotes the Bach here that says, Kodman Lani, you're a cheres mashma, filo, you're a cheres shal, Eretz Yisrael, v'kachas of a Bach. The Shach and the Bach say, my hometown beats Eretz Yisrael. Interestingly, the Chida, who was very well acquainted with this debate because he went from Eretz Yisrael to collect money for Jews in, holy poor Jews in Eretz Yisrael from Chutz Laretz, and got into a lot of debates with people who said, well, should we give our money to you to give to Eretz Yisrael, or should we give our money to poor people in our town? He held, unlike the Shach, that Eretz Yisrael takes precedence even over your hometown, and that's what he says in Makor number 13, which we'll come back to. What is the definition of a city is a great question. It's a great question, which I'm not sure how to answer. So I'm going to leave that as a tzarech iyun for now. That's a great question. Okay, now, what Rav Lichtenstein dealt with in Shir that he wrote up and published is, well, what's the svara behind this? What's the nature of this connection between Eretz Yisrael and Tzedakah? Why should Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael take precedence for tzedakah over Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz? After all, we're all Jews. And he quoted from a couple of achronim who dealt with this. The Chassam Sofer in Makor number 12 has an interesting, more perhaps we could call it a technical answer, which is based on a number of assumptions. Says the Chassam Sofer, Upshada Gemara, the Makdimin Yoshe Eretz Yisrael says the simple pshat is why do Yoshe Eretz Yisrael come first? Why does priority for tzedakah money to those who live in Israel? Mishum di shivasa mitzvah mepnei kedusha shabbat. Because a big mitzvah, those who live in Eretz Yisrael are doing a big mitzvah. Right? The Chassam Sofer, as we know, had a tremendous appreciation of the godless, of the holiness of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, right? The Chassam Sofer famously said, "Hisavol Eretz Nutatim Kol Eitz Ma'achal." Right? We just had that in last week's parsha for those of us in Eretz Yisrael, which we all read it and thought, "Oh, it's just like an intro telling us the background to Dina Orla and Ravai." He says, "No, Hisavol Eretz Nutatim Kol Eitz Ma'achal. You go and you plant trees in Eretz Yisrael. That's a mitzvah. Like putting on says the chumash to put on tefillin. It says in the chumash to plant trees in Eretz Yisrael. He really chose to emphasize the glory of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, even in the most mundane seeming actions like planting trees, not even if you don't build a kol in Eretz Yisrael, you just plant a fig tree in Eretz Yisrael. That's also a tremendous mitzvah in the Torah, according to the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says the big mitzvah, those who live in Eretz Yisrael, are very holy. Ve'u'ya lahakdim osei mitzvah. And why do those who live in Israel get priority for tzedakah? This is an application of a broader category, which is that you have to prioritize those who do mitzvos. You have to prioritize tzaddikim. If I could give my tzedakah money to two poor people, and one of them does a lot of mitzvos, and the other one doesn't do mitzvos, I have to prioritize the one who does mitzvos, the bigger tzaddik. Therefore, he says, those who live in Eretz Yisrael are bigger tzaddikim than those who live in Chutz Laretz. Therefore, he came to a conclusion, which is the topic of his discussion, that Shut, in Kemelahud, in Yushalayim, Neged Eretz Yisrael, Kochad. He thinks, therefore, those who live in Yushalayim take precedence over the rest of Israel, because he thinks it's a bigger mitzvah to live in Yushalayim, and it's holier to live in Yushalayim. Okay, that's the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer sees the din of Kedimas B'nei Eretz Yisrael in Tzedakah, because Eretz Yisrael are Hechitimtzi, they're an example of a broader category of Osei Mitzvah. And those who, now, it's a little funny. I might have said, I don't know, depends which Yoshe Eretz Yisrael, depends which Yoshe Chutz La'aretz. How do you add up the mitzvos? But okay, I don't know, maybe he assumed that everyone did all the mitzvos, but in Eretz Yisrael they also did Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael. Or maybe he assumed their Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael was so great that even if those in Chutz La'aretz did one or two extra mitzvos, Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael would outweigh that, assuming they're all good people who tried to do the right thing. So he saw it as an example of kedima la'osei mitzvah in tzedakah. Perhaps the weakness of the Chassam Sofer's pshat is that he takes the din of kedimas Eretz Yisrael as just an example of a broader principle, as a hechitemtzi. There's not a real din of Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael. The real din is osei mitzvah. And an example of osei mitzvah is Yoshvei Eretz Yisrael, which is, you know, from the Medrash, it sounds like, the Medrash Chazal, but it's specific to Eretz Yisrael, not that it's an example of a broader principle. Okay, but that's how the Chassam Sofer understood it. The Chidah, in Makor number 13, the Yosef Ometz, took it in a direction that's more specific to Eretz Yisrael. And he says here, Asher Darash Meni Agi L'chol Makoach B'nei Eretz Yisrael, that's what I mentioned, L'shloch Shluchim L'chol B'nei Agolo, L'afkui Me'aniya Iram, Yerim Ki Yiknobich Sab Mefarish, etc. Right? He says, someone wrote to him saying, why do these Yosef Eretz Yisrael send schnorrers around to collect money from all the other countries to support the poor Jews in the Kolim and Eretz Yisrael? We should support our own people in our own country before we support Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Says it's true. Es v'ata emes agid d'shaninim sifrei parshim e Yosef Eretz Yisrael kodem Yosef Chutz La'aretz. It says in the Re'eh, people live in Eretz Yisrael come first. Because of Rav Bach, your day of generation aleph, that ni iro kodem la ni Eretz Yisrael, my si rai, min yitani Rav Yosef, min siya davayin aleph, mistam ani ircha kodemin. So the Bach and the Shach say that those who live in your city come first, and they bring a raya, because in Bab Metzi it only mentions those who live in your city. V'ein a raya, da tani Rav Yosef, akro koyim kesa talvas ami, v'sham lo yisremesh Eretz Yisrael, v'al sefrei koyim, akro ba'ach sharech v'yartzcha, that's not a raya, because that was analyzing the pot, darshing the pasuk mishpatim, which didn't mention Eretz Yisrael. But when we get to Darshan, the power of Pasuk number 8, we see Eretz Yisrael comes first. The aim of the Yosher Yisrael coming in the Eero, and I think that Yosher Yisrael come before your local poor. The ain't a Raya Mekrachas, and there's not a good Raya against me. V'hachasim of Rav Shachta, picked up Loshan Mashman, the Shachta said Mashman, he didn't say it was for sure. Umar Shachta, Malaman, hey, I'm Rav Loshan Efshar, v'yada dochen to your local Tito. Fine. V'ulam Shemana, v'yata dalucha. Now he's going to give a little Musar. He says, first of all, don't make excuses not to give tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael. There's no good proof that your local Teaneck poor come before Eretz Yisrael. Maybe poor of Eretz Yisrael come first. But now let me give you the real idea behind it. The Amr B'Sefrei, Shkuli Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael, Kol HaMitzvah Sheba Torah. Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael is equivalent to all the mitzvahs in the Torah. Right? Yeshiva Eretz Yisrael has the ma'ila of all the mitzvahs of the Torah put together. Af B'Churbana, even when the Beis HaMikdash destroyed, still. V'Hayak Yishivto, it's just as good as when it was built. Uladata Rambanim Klaver Machman Sesei Doraisa, being Potter or so. According to Rambanim, it's one of the 248 mitzvahs Sesei Doraisa, and there's no way to exempt yourself from it. Meaning, everyone's chayiv in Yishiv Eretz Yisrael, and it's not a little mitzvah everyone's chayiv in. It's a big mitzvah everyone's chayiv in. It's worth all the others put together. I mean, many mitzvahs are worth all the others put together. Okay, but they're all big, important mitzvahs. So, he adds, Ubameh, he says, Teinach, the Jews who live in Israel. Okay, so they're doing Yishiv Eretz Yisrael. What about you who's living in, I don't know, wherever these people, I don't know exactly where he's writing this. I don't have the beginning of the tshuva. Maybe they were living in Constantinople. What about you living in Constantinople? How can, if you really want to be an Eved Hashem, how can you not do this mitzvah? How are you going to find favor in Hashem's eyes? How are you going to have a chiluk in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael? And in the Torah of Eretz Yisrael? Unless you support those who live there. Meaning, of course there's a priority to give tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael. Because when you give tzedakah to Eretz Yisrael, you're mekayim in the midst of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Because you're supporting the Jews who live there, right? Lots of Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael. They were all poor. They all learned Torah. They had no parnasa. And if you didn't send the money, they would leave Israel. But if you sent the money, then they would stay in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore you would have a chelik in their Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And we have a rule that those who help someone else do a mitzvah are even greater than those who do the mitzvah. If you call someone else to do a mitzvah, that's an even greater schar than doing the mitzvah yourself. So he says that's why you have to prioritize giving tzedakah to Yosef Eretz Yisrael. Because they, if they're poor, they can't live in Israel without you. They would have to make yirida and go back to Chutz La'aretz to get a job. But if you give them tzedakah, they'll be able to stay in Israel. So you're causing them to do the mitzvah of Yosef Eretz Yisrael. And if you're not doing it yourself, you should at least help someone else do it. And not only that, you get even more schar for helping someone else do it. Right, Mehiv Shalem Sukom Ono. So, and then you have a part in Hashem's residence and Hashem's dwelling in Eretz Yisrael. So the Chidah seems to say, why do we prioritize Yosef Eretz Yisrael for the mitzvah of tzedakah, not because they're better than anyone else. All Jews are equal. But we prioritize giving money to Yosef Eretz Yisrael because we want to have a chilek in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And if we help people live in Eretz Yisrael, then that's the way we have a chilek in the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Okay, we'll see that Rav Lichtenstein takes this idea, but perhaps deepens it and makes it a little more fundamental in a few moments. Now, here's where Rav Lichtenstein came in. He brought the Sam Sofer, he brought the Chidah, both of which are somewhat what we might call technical explanations. Why the Sam Sofer says, it's not really a din of Eretz Yisrael, it's just a Heichitimtzi, an example of the din of Osei Mitzvah. And the Chidah says, it's not really a din of Tzedakah. It's a din of helping someone do the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. But neither of them really connect Tzedakah and Eretz Yisrael in such a deep way. And that's what Rav Lichtenstein set out to do. So first, he did this in two steps. In two different directions, but two different angles that come together in one direction. First, he pointed out that you often think of tzedakah in our personal life, we think of tzedakah in a very individualistic fashion. Right? I as an individual have to give tzedakah to another poor individual or a number of poor individuals. But Rav Lichtenstein pointed out, and the truth is that others quote this from the Rav as well, that tzedakah is not merely a mitzvah on the yachid. Tzedakah has an aspect of a yachid. Every yachid is chayiv to give tzedakah, right? You have a certain shir that we're encouraged to give tzedakah, and we should find aniyim and give them. But there's also a tziburi aspect of tzedakah. Rav Lichtenstein mentioned the famous Akedas Yitzchak on Parshas Vayera. The Akedas Yitzchak asked the following question. Why is Sodom worse than any other city in the whole world? Right? I mean, look what happened to it in the Chumash, right? Why are they the worst in the whole world? Because what did they do? It says in Yechezkel, right? It's just, this is, not, I never heard Rav Lichtenstein point this out, but it's worth pointing out nonetheless. Very often, those who don't know Nach, wonder where Chazal got some of their ideas from. And like, what's, you know, Chazal, we all know the stories of Chazal. What was wrong about stone? Torah just says, oh, it was terrible. Chazal will these stories about how they mistreated poor people, etc., etc. Where did Chazal get this idea from? They just like made up a drash that the sin of Sodom is that they abused poor people? So the answer is that Chazal knew something that some of us don't nowadays, which is Nach. It says, Mefurash in Sefer Yechezkel, Halozeh Ayah Von Sodom Achoteich, Gaon Savat Lechem Savat Hashkeit, Vishalvat Hashkeit, V'yadani V'yom Lo Hechzika. It says, Mefurash Pasim Yechezkel, what was the sin of Sodom? That they didn't help, they didn't give tzedakah to poor people. Okay, that's how Chazal knew, because they read the whole Tanakh, and that's how they knew how to interpret the Chumash properly. So, the Sodom, they didn't give tzedakah to poor people. It says, hold on a second, look what the Kananim did. If you noticed in the Parshas recently, they did all the Gilei Arayos and all the Avodah Zarah and all the everything. Okay, and they're Chayiv Misa a gazillion times over. And Sodom didn't give tzedakah, they're in Vatal Mitzvah Zaseh. So, why should Sodom be so destroyed in other Canaanim? Nothing happened to them in the days of Avram Avinu. They lived happily ever after for many hundreds of years afterwards. So the Akedas Yitzchak famously says that there's a difference. Many places had many people who did lots of immoral, terrible things. Lots of big sins. But that was the individuals doing it. In Sodom, the problem wasn't the averis that people did. The problem with Sodom was they made that the rule. The problem with Sodom is that became the rule, right? It's one thing if people do Averis, another thing if you make it the rule to do Averis in Sodom, and that's where you get all the, what does Chazal tell us? Not just that people were mean and stingy and not nice, it's that they made that the rule, right? You weren't allowed to sell food to poor people, etc. And the Akedah there famously says, and he develops this in many directions, which is, this is not the time to discuss, that an Avera which is done as a rule, as a communal standard, even if it's a small avera, is much worse than any avera that's done as an individual. Because if an individual does an avera, so tenech, that's terrible. But at least there's still a society. If we make it a rule to do an avera, then we have no principles anymore. So Rav Lichtenstein points out that this example of Sodom, like what avera was it that they were judged for on the communal level and not on the level of individuals? He says tzedakah. And he says that's because Tzedakah is not only a mitzvah that's incumbent on the individual. Tzedakah is something that defines a community. It's a chovas hatzibur as well as a chovas hayachid. And he points out, if you look at the lashon of the Rambam, or the psak of the Rambam, marker number 14, says the Rambam, after the Rambam, this is perkes, after he has already two prakim of how you should give tzedakah and give tzedakah and give tzedakah, and all the halachas of giving tzedakah, says the Rambam, kol ir sheish b'shol chayav laham lehem gabay tzedakah. Gabay tzedakah. Right? Any city with a Jewish community has to have gabay tzedakah. Meaning, you're not yotzei if you just give tzedakah as an individual. We have to be the opposite of stone. We have to have gabay tzedakah. The rule has to be to give tzedakah. The communal organizations have to give tzedakah. Etc. Right? We have to give gabay tzedakah who come and collect money and distribute it to poor people. It's called a kupa. And beis v'chema meaning gabayim shalokim kol yom, etc. Likewise, other gabayim will collect food and distribute it. That's called a tamkoy. Gimel me'olam lo'ra'inu v'l'shamanu b'kol mi'yisrael. I never heard. Yeah, this is interesting. The Rambam was a realistic fellow, right? The Rambam was not Levi Yitzchak of perdition. When people did something wrong, he called them out on it. But he said, there's one thing I've never seen Jews do wrong in my life. I've never seen or heard of any Jewish community, she'en lem kupa shel tzedakah, without a communal tzedakah fund. I've never heard of a Jewish community like this. Okay, well, tamchoy, some people have, some people not, right? Meaning, defining a Jewish community, what does it mean to be a Jewish community? A Jewish community means that the community has tzedakah. The community organizes people to donate to tzedakah, organizes people to give tzedakah, and pools that money and hands it out. And that's what defines the community. I don't think the Rambam means, I can't promise this, but Lichtenstein didn't think the Rambam meant, that why does the community do it? Because maybe they'll be more efficient, right? They'll have economies of scale, and that's not the point. The point is that a yachid has to be a yachid who's a descendant of Avraham Avinu who gives tzedakah. The Rambam said earlier in Perek Zayin that giving tzedakah shows you're a descendant of Avraham Avinu. And the community has to be a community of Avraham Avinu of giving tzedakah. That's what a Jewish community is chayiv to do in order to be a Jewish community. A Jewish community means not only ben adam la makom, it doesn't just mean we have a shul and we have a sefer Torah and we have a mikvah, we have a minyanim and whatever. It also means that that we have ben adam chaveiro, that the community gets together to take care of the community. And here, Rav Lichtenstein said, if the tzedakah is not only chovas hayachid, but a chovas hatzibur, then the interesting question becomes, how do you best fulfill the chovas hatzibur? When it comes to yechidim, every Jew is an olam mali. Rav Lichtenstein said, I'm not going to start judging this Jew. This Jew lives in Teaneck, and this Jew lives in Antwerp, and this Jew lives in London, and this Jew lives in Haifa. I'm not going to start judging who's better and who's more deserving than and who's holier than anyone else. But if you're talking about the tzibur, if you're talking about the community of Jews, if you're talking about what makes us, what brings us together and makes us not just individuals but a nation, then where are the Jews a nation? The Jews are a nation in Eretz Yisrael. We learned in Morning Seder this year that smicha can only be done in Eretz Yisrael. Why can smicha only be done in Eretz Yisrael? So, the Rambam tells us, not because you can learn Torah in Eretz Yisrael, you can't learn Torah in Chutz La'aretz. You can learn Torah, intellectual achievement in Torah, you can have a Chutz La'aretz also. The smicha is only in Eretz Yisrael because smicha is not just about intellectual achievement. Smicha is about the community, is about being responsible for the community. A samach is responsible to judge the community, and we know if we look in the Rambam, both in the Sefer Mitzvot and in the beginning of Hilchos Sanhedrin, a samach doesn't just mean you can judge if a court case comes up. A samach means, a bezdin means you have responsibility to lead the community, to figure out what they're doing wrong and help them correct their ways, to keep an eye, to make sure that people don't do the wrong thing. A samach is a job of leading the community and helping them serve Hashem properly. Okay, where can we appoint people over the community? Where can we take care of the community? Only in Eretz Yisrael, as the Rambam says in 15, Ufar bi'arnu b'tchila Sanhedrin, this is the Perish Mishnayis of Bechoros, he says, we already explained Sanhedrin, she'en yikra bezin b'sam al sonk Eretz Yisrael. A real bezin is only if they have smicha in Eretz Yisrael. Bein shal yisam b'samach, whether you got smicha from someone else with smicha, o ba'askamas b'nei Eretz Yisrael, notes of Rosh Hashiva, or as we've seen here and there in Morning Seder, if all the Jews in Eretz Yisrael got together and appointed Rosh Hashiva. Why? Why smicha in Eretz Yisrael? The fish of b'nei Yisrael hamash in a krum kol. Because only in Eretz Yisrael are the Jews called a kol. The Jews in Eretz Yisrael are called a kol. Vashem krum kol ha kol. And Hashem called them the whole kol. Vafilim masorah achadim, what we call yechidim. What does the Rambam say? The Jews in Eretz Yisrael are the Kahal. Where are the Jews a community? Where are the Jews a nation? Where do the Jews express their nationalism, express their group identity? In Eretz Yisrael. And he says the Jews in Israel are the whole Kahal Yisrael, even if there's only a few of them. Even if there's a million Jews in Russia. Even if there's a billion Jews in Brazil. And there's only 30 in Eretz Yisrael. The 30 Jews in Eretz Yisrael are the Jewish people. That's what he said. Right? He says, Vashem krom kol hakol. Hashem calls them the whole kahal. Even if they were only a sarachadim, even if they're only a bare minion. And ain't chol shem lezulasam. Obviously, he doesn't mean the level of yachid. We don't care about individual Jews in Brazil or Morocco. Of course we care about individual Jews. But in terms of being the Jewish people, the Jewish people is defined by the Jews in Eretz Yisrael, not by the Jews in Chutzlart. Where did the Rambam get this idea? He says, like we explained in Horios. The Gemara says in Horios, number 16, Amar Vasi, Uvahorah, Halach Acharov, Yosef Eretz Yisrael. What's Masechus Horios about? If you remember from the Chumash, Vayikra, Perek Dalid, if the Sanhedrin paskin something wrong about Chiyuvei Karis, and all the Jews do this Aveira, or most Rov of the Jews do the Aveira, then they bring this carbon called Par Helim Davishal Tzibur. How do we count most of the Jews? How do we know if most of the Jews did the Aveira or not? So the Gemara in Horia says, Halach HaRov Yosher Yisrael. Jews in Chutzlart don't get a quote-unquote vote. Only the Jews in Eretz Yisrael get a quote-unquote vote. I mean, you want to know if most of them ate the Chelov or not, most of them were Chal Shabbos or not, you go by most of the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, how do we know? All the Jewish call was with him. How do you define all the Jewish call? Milavo Hamas, we had Nachal Mitzrayim. From Levo Hamas to Nachal Mitzrayim, right? From Lebanon to Egypt. Meaning, all the Jews are the Jews in Israel. Lefnei Hashem Elokeinu Shvasim Mishvasim Yar Rasa Yom, Mechli Siv Echol Yisrael Imo, Kal Gadol Mevo Hamas to Nachal Mitzrayim Lovel. He says all the Jews are with him. Why does he have to say from Levo Hamas to Nachal Mitzrayim? Shvami Na, Hani Hu De'ikri Kahal, Aval Hanach Lo Ikri Kahal. Only the Jews in Israel are the Kahal. The Jews in Israel are not just individual Jews. They represent the Jews as a nation, the Jews as a people. They represent our group identity. Our group identity is defined by the Jews in Israel. The Jews in Chutzlart are good individuals, but they don't represent Am Yisrael. They don't represent our being a collective. They only represent our being individuals. And the Rambam points this out in his Perush Mishnayos right there in Horios number 17. The Rambam says the same lashon. Who is Kol Yisrael? Who's in Israel is Kol Yisrael. And don't pay attention to those who live in Chutzlart. Yeah, what does he mean? He lived in Chutzlart. He didn't mean, don't pay attention to the individuals, they're worthless as individuals. No, I mean, he lived in Chutzlart, and many of the Gedolim that he learned from lived in Chutzlart. Of course, as individuals, all Jews are special. But, if you're talking about Klal Yisrael is defined by Israel, not by those who live in Golis. And, the Rambam doesn't point this out, but some of the Achronim point out, Rashi interprets it a little differently. But the Gemara says in Maseches Tainis, Makor 18, Amar Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Ein Tainis Sibur Bavel Ela Tish Bavel Vad. You can't make a tiny seber in Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, if Chas V'Shalom, there's some terrible drought or other, a famine or Lo Aleinu or any of the other Lo Aleinu things that would threaten us, we'd make a tiny seber. In Bavel and Chutzlars, there's no tiny seber, except Tisha B'Av, which is for its own reasons. Why is there no tiny seber in Bavel? So Rashi has a more technical explanation. Some of the Achronim say, there's no tiny seber in Bavel because there's no real seber in Bavel. Of course, you can still have a minyan and daven and say Kaddish and Kiddush and Baruch. We don't mean that. But it means in terms of the national tzibur, in Eretz Yisrael, we're at tzibur. So there's a tiniest tzibur. In Bavel, even if 1,000 people get together and fast, it's a fast of 1,000 yechidim, because you're not really a tzibur if you're not in Eretz Yisrael. The tziburiyut of the Jewish people is in Eretz Yisrael. Not only that, Rav Lichtenstein liked to point out that even when it comes to the relationship between Jews, there's a different relationship between Jews. There's a different closeness and responsibility between Jews in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. 19, the Gemara says, "Hanistaros l'Hashem l'kenu v'aniglos l'onu l'vaneu adolam lama nakud al'onu l'vaneu v'alayin sheba'ad." Right, this is the pasuk where we learn where we learn Arvos. Right, that Jews are responsible for each other's. If you read Rashi and the Hamahalach of Pesukim, beginning of Mitzvahim, he shows how it all flows from the order of the Pesukim. So why does it have these dots, which usually means to subtract something? Hashem did not punish us for the hidden sins, meaning we're not 100% responsible for each other. We're always responsible if I see you doing an avera, I have to stop you. We're not 100% responsible for everything everyone does, no matter how well they hide it, until we crossed the yard and went to Israel to Rabbi Yehuda. I'm leaving the chemist. The honest shows the other mother from Namar, Adulam, El Kashesh, Lonis, and Staros, Kaklo, and Shalon, Shabagoli, and Shabri Shalzi Yardi. Okay, Rabbi Nechemi says, we're never punished if you do an avera in secret. It's not my fault. But how about the averas that I see you do? I wasn't responsible for them until we crossed the yard and entered Eretz Yisrael. Fine, so Yehuda says, I'm not responsible for your hidden averas until we entered Eretz Yisrael. And Nechemi says, I'm not responsible for your revealed averas until we entered Eretz Yisrael. They both agree, I'm not responsible for your averas on some level until the Jewish people entered Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael made us responsible for each other's averas. Why does Eretz Yisrael make us responsible for each other's averas? What, there's better news in Eretz Yisrael to find out people's averas? Pashut, because outside of Eretz Yisrael, we're more yechidim. So I'm responsible for my averas, and you're responsible for your averas. But in Eretz Yisrael, that makes us one collective, that makes us an organic entity. That makes us one Seber. One, why am I responsible for your averas? Why is my right hand responsible for what my left hand does? Right, if my foot trips, then why does my back hurt? Because it's all part of me. In Eretz Yisrael, we're all one guf. And this is one of Rav Lichtenstein's favorite Avnei Nezers, the Avnei Nezer, who was, you know, well known for his enthusiasm towards Yishuv Eretz Yisrael in the modern era. The Avnei Nezer says here, Ach, in Mark number 20, Ach nirli beruin shel dvarim, ki malas Eretz Yisrael l'chutz l'aretz l'ashokhtem ba. What's the Milo? What's better about Eretz Yisrael than Chutz La'aretz? Kotz Maral, he quotes Maral, Ben in Arvas, the Maral about the Gemara 19, show you betchilas v'yasam la'aretz, that you only start to be responsible for each other when we came to Eretz Yisrael. Ki aretz oshel ha'shochen la'ke ishechad. Right there, Mefurish Maral. Eretz Yisrael makes us into one organic entity. Outside Eretz Yisrael, we're different people who just have shared values. In Eretz Yisrael, we're one guf. It really makes Am Yisrael one unit. Me'achshim yuchedes li'Yisrael, ha'aretz mesareftam li'osechad, because this is our special land, it makes us one. Al-kein nasu ha'rivim zel'ozev shashav re'yardin, that's where we became responsible for each other when we crossed the yard in Varel Eretz Yisrael, ayim bedvarav. Zen nirmez gamkim b'shas horios. And then he ties it in to all of these halachas that we've seen. Why in horios do we only count the Jews in Eretz Yisrael? B'horah halacha ha'rov yosher Eretz Yisrael, ha'nechukuk kol, because they're the kol, they're the body of. They're the collective organic body of Klal Yisrael. They're the body of Klal Yisrael. Avlina chloek your call, and al kain tzarich lekadosh Eretz Yisrael davka, coming back to morning seder, tying up our morning seder from smicha to kiddush hachodesh, which, I mean, if you read the whole Avnei Nezer, he's talking about kiddush hachodesh there. You don't have to take my word for it. You can go down and look it up yourself afterwards. He says, that's why kiddush hachodesh needs to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because Kiddush HaChodesh is not something I have to do with individual. I'm not, you're my colleague. It's a national thing. It has to do with our collective identity as one Jewish people. We have one calendar. We have one Rosh Chodesh. Therefore, of course, it has to be in Eretz Yisrael. Because Eretz Yisrael is the place where we express our collectivity. Right? The next Shekilu Kachu Kolakol. How is it? Is it all of Am Yisrael with Kaddish the Chodesh? If someone in Kaddish the Chodesh, if the Bezdin of Antwerp in Kaddish the Chodesh, it would just be in Antwerp. But the Bezdin of Yishalayim and Eretz Yisrael in Kaddish the Chodesh, that's all the Jews. Because Eretz Yisrael represents the entirety of the Jewish people. So, says Rav Lichtenstein first, an interesting point, which he develops. I don't think the relatives in the Mishpacha developed it in exactly this way before him, but an idea that his grandfather-in-law was mechadesh or publicized. The Gemara says, the Rambam says in Makor number 21, going back to Masechta Sanhedrin, v'chol Eretz Yisrael shechziku bo olim Mitzrayim u'ilu smicha. The entire era of Eretz Yisrael, olim Mitzrayim, those who made aliyah from Mitzrayim, meaning days of Yeshua ben Nun to David and Shlomo, all of Eretz Yisrael that was conquered in the time of Sefer Yeshua Shoftim Shmuel, Melachim, olim Mitzrayim is kosher for smicha. Like, we're the borders of Eretz Yisrael for Smicha, the borders of Bayis Rishon, let's call it. So this is peculiar, because we know, for the purpose of Mitzvah Sluyas Ba'aretz, the Rambam is very mefurish, that what are the borders of Israel that are Chayav, Midoraisa, and Mitzvah Sluyas Ba'aretz? The borders of Olei Bavel, where they came and they built Bayis Sheni, which are much smaller than borders of Olei Mitzrayim. The Rambam says explicitly in Hilchos Beis Avichira and Hilchos Trumas as well, that the Kedusha Rishona of Yoshua ben Nun and Bayis Rishon was Batel when they went to Golos Bavel. Then they got a Kedusha Shnia when they came with Ezra, and that lasted forever. But Ezra only settled a very small part of Eretz Yisrael, not the whole big Eretz Yisrael. So it's very peculiar. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is only in this small area settled by Ezra Nehemiah called Olei Bavel. So why is the big Eretz Yisrael of any place where Olei Mitzrayim lived kosher for smicha? So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik explained that there's two dinim, two aspects to Eretz Yisrael. There's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael and there's Shame Eretz Yisrael. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is Trumos and Maisros and Shemitah, etc. That's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, meaning it's Kadosh, and whatever grows there has a certain Kedusha and special mitzvahs you have to do with whatever comes out of the, like mamash, the soil, the land itself is Kadosh, whatever grows there has special Kedusha. That's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, and that's only in the area settled by Olei Bavel. But he says there's also something called Shame Eretz Yisrael. Shame Eretz Yisrael means that has nothing to do with the Kedusha mitzvahs for Eretz. It's just called Eretz Yisrael. Shame Eretz Yisrael, that applies to the broader Eretz Yisrael, every place Hashem told Moshe about in the Chumash, and Yoshua ben Nun of those who came after him settled. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says some dinim depend on Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, like Trumos or Maestros and Shemitah and Yovel, and those only apply Midoraisa in the area of Olei Bavel, the small area they settled in by Hashem. Other dinim are totally on Shame Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean Kedusha. As long as it's called Eretz Yisrael, those dinim apply, and they apply to any place settled by Olei Mitzrayim. Examples of that are smicha. You can give smicha anywhere there's Shem Eretz Yisrael. Another example is Egla Rufa. The Rambam says you can give Egla Rufa in Eivar Yarden. Nowadays we call it Jordan. And it's Meduyik in the Rambam elsewhere that Jordan doesn't have Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Okay, but it's still Shem Eretz Yisrael because Olei Mitzrayim conquered it. And it gives a number of other such examples. So Rav Lechtzin said, I understand Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Kedushas Eretz Yisrael means it's Kadosh for Mitzvah Tluyos Ba'aretz, that the agriculture has Kedusha, the plants have Kedusha. But what's Shame Eretz Yisrael for? Like, the meaning of Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, it's, oh, for things that have to do with the Kedusha of the agriculture. What does Shame Eretz Yisrael have to do with? Like, why is there something else called Shame Eretz Yisrael? So if he says, ah, Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, that's for Mitzvot Tluyos Ba'aretz, for the agriculture. Shame Eretz Yisrael is for mitzvot that have to do with our collective entity as a Jewish people, for mitzvot that have to do with our nationalisms, our national homeland. That's Shame Eretz Yisrael. All mitzvot that have to do with Eretz Yisrael is representing Jewish collectivity as representing Jewish peoplehood, those applying Shame Eretz Yisrael, all the land settled and conquered by Olei Mitzrayim, represents the Jewish people as peoplehood. Only the land settled by Ezra and Nehemiah and Olei Bavel has Kedusha in the agricultural mitzvos. And therefore, Egla Rufa, that has to do with our peoplehood, that we shouldn't have murder in our society. And therefore, that applies in any place that's called Shame Eretz Yisrael. Smicha has to do with our peoplehood. Kiddush HaChodesh has to do with our peoplehood. Right? Kiddush HaChodesh because as a nation we're in Kiddush HaChodesh, not as individuals. Anything that has to do with expressing our national identity, that's what Shem Eretz Yisrael is all about. And that's what he added to this Masorah in the Soloveitchik family. All right, that besides Shem Eretz Yisrael and Kiddush Eretz Yisrael goes with Mitzvot Tluyos Ba'aretz, which is obvious, and Shem Eretz Yisrael goes with Klal Yisrael being a klal. Things that have to do with us being a klal, Shem Eretz Yisrael is the place where we're a klal. Any place settled by only Mitzrayim. So that's the first thing that Rav Lechtzin pointed out. He says, now we can understand why Eretz Yisrael has priority for tzedakah. Not just because it happens to be an example of some other principle, of Osei Mitzvah, or because it happens to all be helping someone else do Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. He said, no, Eretz Yisrael's priority for tzedakah, because when we give tzedakah in Chutz La'aretz, we are fulfilling L'mahadrin in the best possible way, our individual chiv of tzedakah. But, and also we have a Jewish community with the Pushka in, a rabbi's discretionary tzedakah fund in Chutz La'aretz. But to really fulfill properly the collective, the national element of the Jewish people having tzedakah, the Jewish people giving tzedakah and having a righteous society, not just the Jewish individual giving tzedakah, we have to give tzedakah in Eretz Yisrael, because tzedakah in Eretz Yisrael is tzedakah of the Jewish people and not just of the Jewish individuals or of one local Jewish synagogue or other type of organization. And that's why Eretz Yisrael is priority, because it's the place we express our national tzedakah as well as our individual tzedakah. And then he went a little further and suggested, based on something which his father-in-law, the Rav, pointed out on a number of occasions, the Rav said that there's a din called Bir Avodah Zarah. It's a mitzvah saseh midoraisa, which still has applications even on Hayom Hazeh, right? The rabbis still get shilas about Bir Avodah Zarah, even if you think it doesn't exist anymore. It comes up once in a while. Bir Avodah Zarah means not just like you'd think from all the rest of Chumash, just stay passively, stay far away from Avodah Zarah. Beer Avodah Zarah means you have to actively destroy Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara Darshan is a big difference of Beer Avodah Zarah between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz. In Chutz Laretz, if you happen to get Avodah Zarah, you know, you get a package in the mail, say, you know, happy birthday from, whatever your pagan friend's name is. And he sends you an idol or something. So then, once you got the package in the mail, so you have to destroy it. In Eretz Yisrael, though, you have to search after Avodah Zarah and destroy it. It's not just if you happen to have Avodah Zarah, you have to destroy it. So you have to look for all the Avodah Zarah in the whole country and destroy it. So why is that? So the Rav says, it's not just that, well, okay, we're more machmer in Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael because maybe it's more offensive or something. The Rav says, that's part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't just mean you have buildings and you have roads and you have an army. Right? The Rav says, it's very nice to have buildings and roads and offices and trains and whatever. But if you have Avodah Zarah, then that's against the whole idea of a Jewish Yishuv. A Jewish Yishuv is a Yishuv without Avodah Zarah. We try to keep all target mitzvahs, but on the most basic level, right, to not have Avodah Zarah. And so the Rav says, beer Avodah Zarah that didn't in Chutz Laretz in Yisrael, is that in Chutz Laretz it's just, well, we don't want to have Avodah Zarah, so if we get Avodah Zarah and it's already in my hand or in my house, I have to destroy it. But in Eretz Yisrael, it's part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. To have Eretz Yisrael, not have Avodah Zarah, to not have idol worship in Eretz Yisrael, that's part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It's the spiritual Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Said Rav Lichtenstein, he thinks really you can say the same thing for tzedakah. He thinks tzedakah in Eretz Yisrael, he just took this idea further. It's not just that tzedakah in Eretz Yisrael is a more communal tzedakah, expresses our collective that commitment to tzedakah better than tzedakah in Chutz Laretz. It's that tzedakah in Eretz Yisrael is a key in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Not just in the technical sense, not only in the technical sense that Chida said. Well, technically, if someone would have to leave Israel and move back to America if they didn't get tzedakah, and you get in tzedakah, helps them live in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Lichtenstein meant, no, in a more deeper fundamental sense. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael doesn't just mean buildings and trains, and it doesn't just mean buildings and trains and destroying Avodah Zarah, because buildings and trains are the Gashmias, and destroying Avodah Zarah is the values of Bein Adam L'Makom, the most basic, fundamental level. But we believe that a society, Judaism, being a nation of Hashem, is not only Benon L'Makom, it's a combination of Benon L'Makom and Benon L'Chaveru. The Sora we have from Avraham Avinu is that he broke the idols, and that he invited in the people and gave them tzedakah, right? That's our chapar. There might have been other people who broke idols. There might have been other people who gave tzedakah and invited in the Nasa's Orchim. Our Mitzvah from Avraham Avinu is that he realized that they went together, and they were two sides of the same coin, and they were the two necessary steps of worshiping Hashem and being religious in this world. So Rav Lichtenstein says, if you have a society where no one helps the poor people, what kind of yishuv is that? That's not yishuv. That's not civilization. That's not a country. That's barbarians. That's a Hobbesian state of nature. That's primitive cavemen, right? Part of a yishuv means not a yishuv where we worship Hashem instead of Avodah Zarah, and a yishuv where it's tzedakah, where we care about each other, where we build a society where the strong take care of the weak and the rich take care of the poor, and we care about each other, and we're not all selfish and in it for ourselves. That's the definition. Otherwise, it's not a yishuv. That's not called civilized. Again, I don't know, maybe other religions would think differently. Very nice for them. But in our Masorah, it's not called civilized if you're Ayn Rand and you stand for every man for himself. Civilized means that we care about one another and we recognize that's the Derech Hashem Lasso Tzedakah O'Mishpat. Just like Bir Avodah Zarah is it. Just like Avram broke the idols. And that was the Derech Hashem. Lasso Tzedakah O'Mishpat was the Derech Hashem. That's Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. And Rav Lichtenstein says, really, there are two levels to avoid. He says now, if you go back to the Psukim, he says, interestingly, you find Tzvei Dinim in Tzedakah. One pasuk of Tzedakah, if you look at Shmos, Im Keset, Taves, Amiyas, Ani, Mach, if you lend money to a poor person. Or number five, if you look at Vayikra, Chiyamach, Achim, Vamata, Yado, Imach. Right, all these things, basically, if you meet a poor person, that's one level of Tzedakah. That's the regular Tzedakah that applies equally in Chutz Laretz and Eretz Yisrael. If you meet a poor person, the individual level of Tzedakah. But look at the difference in the Lashon of number three, of the Parshan Re'ei. All of a sudden, it's not about you meeting someone. It's about in you you're having. Like you have a society, and in that society there's certain kinds of people, and what does the society do in that case? Etc. Right? And then continuing, right? Yud Aleph, the end of three. Ki lo yechdal v'yom mikar v'aretz. There'll always be poor people in the land. What does that have to do with anything? So what if there'll always be poor people in the land? Al-Kena nochim samcha leimor, etc. The point is, this is not just about the individual giving tzedakah to one individual. This is about society. Hashem says it's part of society that until Mashiach comes and perfects the world, right, there will always be poor people. The nature of society is that there's poor and rich people. Ki yevecha evyon. And what do you do if the nature of human society is that they're poor and rich, and that's the way Hashem created the world as long as we're in the time period of Olam Hazeh? Then what are we supposed to do about that? Ah, we're supposed to make a special kind of society where the poor are taken care of by the rich because we have the values of the Torah, because we have the yeshuv, we have a Torah yeshuv. And of course, that's why it's in Re'eh. What's the difference between Re'eh as opposed to Mishpatim and Behar? Re'eh is Sefer Devarim, is Moshe's speech. How does Re'eh start? I mean the first pasuk, but like third pasuk or something. Eile, hachukim mishpatim sheshbun lasos, ba'aretz asher shem alkecha, etc. Right? This is in Parsha Re'eh. This is what you do in Aretz. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you want to make a Jewish state in Eretz Yisrael? Of course a Jewish state, you need an army, etc., etc. Okay, but the Jewish part of the Jewish state, what's the Jewish part of the Jewish state? It's also, talks right there in Re'eh about getting rid of Avodah Zarah, but it's also tzedakah. That's the two sides of the coin of being a Jewish state. So let's say, even if you go back to the Psukim, you see this Tzvedin of tzedakah. There's tzedakah of the Yachid that applies in Chutz La'aretz. That's found in Mishpatim, briefly in Mishpatim Bahar. And then there's Tzedakah of Eretz Yisrael. That's in Re'eh. And Tzedakah of Eretz Yisrael is about that they're really, it's an internal connection, a fundamental connection between Tzedakah and Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't just happen to work out that they coincide Tzedakah and Eretz Yisrael. It's that Tzedakah is inherently part of Eretz Yisrael, because if Eretz Yisrael means a Jewish community is defined by Tzedakah. And if Eretz Yisrael means Yeshiva Aretz, means creating a Jewish state means, again, not just how many points on the star we have on the flag. A Jewish state means a state where we follow the Derech Hashem, so it's not commission. We follow the Avraham Avinu, the first Jew, who is Mevarer Zara, but as well was Machlis Orchim and gave tzedakah. And that's the unique connection between tzedakah and Eretz Yisrael, according to Rav Lichtenstein.
There are two humans.
Correct. There's the regular kiyum of tzedakah in Chutz La'aretz, and there's the additional kiyum of the tzedakah of building Eretz Yisrael with tzedakah.
Doesn't that seem to go against Chazal when Chazal say that
Oh no, that's the opinion of the Bach. That's not the opinion of the Chida. There's a machlokas about that. So I don't know. Maybe Lichtenstein would lean towards the Chida. Could be. You can be so much on the Chida.
Maybe it's where we're only talking about level one.
Correct. And that's, of course, why, like the Bach says, but in the Gemara in Bava Metzia, it didn't say anything about Eretz Yisrael. Of course, the Gemara in Bava Metzia was Darshin Mishpatim. That's the other din of tzedakah. In the other din of tzedakah, there's nothing special about Eretz Yisrael. Only in this din of tzedakah, there's something special about Eretz Yisrael. And we see there's something special about Eretz Yisrael, because the Gemara needs to Darshin. How do you know to give tzedakah in Chutz La'aretz? Talmud Lomar, Hashem Hashem Elokecha Nosein Lecha. Right? That it's even a chiddush to give tzedakah in Chutz La'aretz. Not on the level of the Yachid. That's not the chiddush, is that you might think from the level of the tzibur, it's only where we're one nation, where we express our national identity in Eretz Yisrael. That's where we build a society, tzedakah. That's a chiddush. Okay, we also give tzedakah in Chutz La'aretz. Just we see from this this explanation, I think some of the values that Rav Lichtenstein stood for, started with tzedakah, with Eretz Yisrael, the centrality of Eretz Yisrael. Right, meaning we can't leave Eretz Yisrael out of tzedakah. We can't just make it a little side technical point like the Sam Sofer. Like Eretz Yisrael is central to smicha and to egla rufa and to make all of those not just a technical requirement for some side reason, but the Eretz Yisrael is central to so much of the Torah because Eretz Yisrael is where we have our identity as not just as good individuals but as the Jewish people. And that's Rav Lichtenstein explained to others why he when he made Aliyah. He made Aliyah to become Rosh Yeshiva of the Gush, so who wouldn't make Aliyah to become Rosh Yeshiva of the Gush? Seems like a no-brainer. But at the time, what do you mean the Gush? There was an abandoned old Jordanian army bunker with like 10 guys learning in it on a desolate hilltop someplace, which they claimed was going to be a yeshiva. He left... you know. Chasavi, he left basically having all of YU as his Yerusha to mamish a desolate, empty hilltop in the middle of nowhere, but in the middle of the greatest weir in the world, in the middle of Eretz Yisrael. Smack between Chevron, smack between Moriah HaMachpelah and Har HaBayis. And he said, explained to someone once, what? He said, it's not that I couldn't be Oved Hashem in Chutz Laretz. I could learn Torah in Chutz Laretz, and I could daven in Chutz Laretz, I could do mitzvahs in Chutz Laretz, I could do chesed in Chutz Laretz, I could bring up my kids and teach them to be from and teach them the Torah in Chutz Laretz. He says, but I'm not in the history of the Jewish people. In Eretz Yisrael, it's like the difference between a player on the field and a spectator in the stands. The Jewish people has a history. The Jewish people is going someplace. We're building something. We're bringing the geula. You can watch from the stands, or you can be on the playing field. He says, I want to be on the playing field. And that's why he moved to a desolate hilltop. Everyone thought he was crazy. I'm not going to list all the people who thought he was crazy. Everyone thought he was crazy. But he was principled. But that's it. I mean, Eretz Yisrael, what's unique about Eretz Yisrael? It's not that I can't be a good Jew in Chutz Laretz. It's not that I can't bring up my kids to be from in Chutz Laretz. As an individual, I could be in Chutz Laretz. But if I want to be part of the story of the Jewish people, if I want to be part of the story that Hashem tells Avraham Avinu in the Chumash and continues this very day, I'd be his gold tzedek, that story is happening in Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's part of what we see here, as well as just what Eretz Yisrael means to him. I think one of Rav Lichtenstein's criticisms of a lot of the religious Zionist community, he very rarely criticized the religious Zionist community for what they believed and what they did. But sometimes he criticized them for what they didn't take it to the next step. And I think one of the problems he saw is that the community was so dedicated to Yishev Haaretz, and sometimes the Yishev Haaretz just becomes, you know, how much territory do you conquer or how much territory do you give up? Which Rav Lichtenstein never underestimated the importance of, and how much do you build, and how many houses, and how many yeshivim, etc. But Rav Lichtenstein had to keep reminding people that Yishev Haaretz is not just about how many square meters, and how many square kilometers, and how many houses, and how many yeshivim. Yishev Yisrael is about the values, is about building a Jewish society, not just expanding the gashmius borders of a Jewish state or a Jewish settlement. It's about the quality of are being a Jewish society in Eretz Yisrael, and not just the quantity of Yishuvim, and that's both in Bein Adam LaMakom, you know, what kind of Shabbos do we have, and what kind of, you know, of Chagim do we have, etc., and in Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, you know, do we have a society where, you know, no one cares about the weaker elements of society, or do we have a society where we act like Avraham Avinu? I think that was, time and again, a message that he kept reminding us not to dampen anyone's enthusiasm for Yishev Eretz Yisrael, but to add complexity and depth to that enthusiasm for Yishev Eretz Yisrael. And I just want to end with one makor, which is the Avnei Nezer, the same Avnei Nezer Lichtenstein loved, makor number 22. Just he said the same idea someplace else, and he added one additional knetch. How about the Jews who live in Chutz Laretz? Right, I mean, you could take everything I just said and end up very depressed for the Jews who live in Chutz Laretz. They're not part of anything, you know. Where do they fit in? So interestingly, the Avnei Nezer points out something about the Maharal. The Maharal says, we only have Arvus because we're in Eretz Yisrael. Hold on, halachically, did the Arvus end when we went into Golus, or did the Arvus continue? The Arvus continued. There's still Arvus nowadays, even for Jews who live in New Zealand or Japan. So says the Avnei Nezer number 22. Divrei Maharal mi Pragzal v'Bir Tam Shalosh Arvi Yisrael Zel Zerak Achash Arvus Hayarden v'Bir Maharal Zatzal De'Eretz Yisrael Miyuchedes LiYisrael V'Osetz Kol Yisrael Shofen Laki Ish Echad Ad Al Keng Shebo Eretz Yisrael Nasar Even Ad Kan Dvar. Of course, the same Maharal Eretz Yisrael. What makes us one entity? What makes us one goof? And that's why we're responsible for each other. V'Hinei Zeh Pashut, he says. But hold on a second. Once we crossed the Yarden, even if we went to Bavel or to Rome or to Woodmere, we still have the Arvus. How come we still have the Arvus if we're not in Eretz Yisrael? Vatam Barer, the Afshagolu, even though we're in Golus now, even if Jews are in Golus now, their home is still in Eretz Yisrael. Once, before we went into Eretz Yisrael, we didn't have it. Once we went into Eretz Yisrael with Yeshua ben Nun, even if we went into Golus, our home is still Eretz Yisrael. Shanachmi Eretz Yisrael down the Golan. That's why we call it Golus. If we're in another land, we're in Golus. If we really lived in America, we wouldn't call it Golus. No, we're staying in America. But our home is in Eretz Yisrael. In Kamikom Meinu, we don't live, I mean, the Avnezer was, we don't live in Poland. We're staying in Poland, but our home is Eretz Yisrael. Rakmikom Meinu be'Eretz Yisrael, mitzvah lunder be'Eretz Yisrael. Our home is in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a mitzvah to live there. Al ken adayin chashav yilkon be'Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, even if we happen to be in Poland now, it considers if we're still, our home is still in Eretz Yisrael. Our permanent residence is still Eretz Yisrael. Afshein on befol, even though we're not actually in Eretz Yisrael, right? Our temporary address is Poland, but our permanent residence is Eretz Yisrael. Mikom makom zem mikom meinu, and that's why we still have the Golus. I think what he's saying here is that even if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael, you can tap into that energy, you can tap into that Kedusha, you can tap into that sublime message of Jewish of the Jewish nation, Jewish people, of Klal Yisrael, if you remember that wherever you live, your home is in Eretz Yisrael. There might be very valid reasons why someone is temporarily, for this decade, living someplace outside Eretz Yisrael. There's a big difference between someone who lives in Englewood and thinks their home is in Englewood versus someone who might have a very nice house, Lehi and Har in Englewood, and might be living there for the next 10, 20 years, but remembers that their homeland and that their home is in Eretz Yisrael. And I think that's also something Rav Lichtenstein would have wanted me to end with, because one of the things Rav Lichtenstein always taught us is that when you teach ideas about how great something is, like Eretz Yisrael, the point is not to put down those who aren't doing that or those who are doing things a little differently. The point is that whenever you teach how great your shita is or your experiences or your mahalach or your derech in life is, and this was his derech in life, the point is not to teach how my derech of life is great and yours is terrible, but to point out how my derech of life is great and you're also shayach my derech in life, and we're all in it together, and to find the ways in which we all really share our values and we're all in it together, even if we each do it in our own way based on our own circumstances and our own life stories. And I think that's also a fitting message to end with as we prepare to carry on the legacy of Rav Lichtenstein.